Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, May 12th, 2008, and you have the good fortune to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Ah, that would be me. We return to our usual question and answer format this week, but I hope you all had an opportunity to listen to the swell interview I did, in two parts, mind you, with the internationally known author, producer, educator, and therapist, Dr. Michael Perry. They are podcasts 61 and 62. Be sure to check them out. Today's podcast is brought to you by one of my all-time favorite sponsors, Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish gear right there on the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the My Stockroom tab. You'll enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yessery sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty sex toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your computer. That's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You'll be glad you did. I have a totally amazing show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. As you all know by this time, this is a no-pressure, voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy. I'd love to hear your voice as well as your question. And I think our audience would like that too. So why not give us a shout at 866-422-5680. Alrighty, on with the show. Our first correspondent is Jasper, 48, and he writes from North Carolina. My partner and I have not had sex for 5 months until yesterday. I have a large penis and normally have to be very gentle after we have gone a while without sex. Yesterday, she was very loose and had no problem with my insertion. Is this a good sign that she's been having sex with someone else over the last 5 months? Jasper. Do you honestly think that the only way a woman can exercise and stretch her pussy is with a cock? Darling, what you don't know about women and sex is a lot. So I gotta ask, why aren't you humping your partner with slightly more regularity than every 5 months? Is it you? Is there something about the way you bone her that makes it okay for her to go without your monkey member for such a long period of time? Maybe, just maybe, she's tired of waiting for you to dole out the fuck. Maybe she needs a bit more than the stingy amount of nookie you're willing or able to provide. Maybe she's taking care of business on her own. Maybe she's discovered the joys of self-pleasuring. Maybe she's got a stash of manly-sized dildos that you know nothing about, and she puts them to good use on a regular basis. Maybe she's doing this because you're not taking care of business at home like you oughta. Listen, bub. In the long 5 months that you've gone without partnered sex, did you squeeze off a few? Did you choke the chicken? Did you wrestle with the one-eyed monster? Did you wank your willy? I'll bet you did. And I'll bet you did it with some regularity. You may have even slipped your baloney pony into someone else's honeypot. You know, when long periods of sexual drought occur in a relationship, partners tend to discover how to fend for themselves. Am I right or am I right? So let's just say that your old lady is out there getting plugged by some unfamiliar Johnson, and a big one at that. What of it? You certainly ain't doing your part to keep her parts happy and fulfilled, are you? Maybe, just maybe, you need to make amends and look to pleasuring her more frequently before you let your imagine run away with you. In other words, find out what she likes and how she likes it and let her have it just that way. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Marie. She's 21 and writes from Florida. I've had sex with exactly two guys. Each one has had an average-sized penis, but both thought they were small. The sex we had was nice, and I was happy with it. What I don't understand is why guys have this obsession with having a large penis. From everything I've read, most women don't care about size, and yet that's all I hear from my guy friends. What gives? Like I always say, nothing quite captures a dude's imagination like his cock. Its shape, its size, its general appearance is the source of endless wonderment. Unfortunately, along with all that wonderment comes envy. I suppose if we never had anything to compare it to, our precious Willie would be the best darn Willie there ever was. That's the beauty of self-love. Funny, though, how a guy's self-admiration can evaporate when he's confronted with the sight of some other fellow swinging some heavy pipe. This change in mood is pretty predictable. Some people suggest that we have been programmed to believe that big is better. And this is a throwback to when us men folks were just learning to stand upright and move about on two legs. Since the time of our caveman ancestors, humans have worshipped the male phallus. At first, the representations were nothing more than crude upright pillars of wood or stone called lingams. The Egyptians created more exalted depictions, the obelisk, to represent the sun god Ra's dick. In time, the obelisk would morph into the church steeple and the mosque's minaret, as the preferred religion changed with the ages. When capitalism became the new creed, the steeple and minaret morphed once again into the skyscraper. Simple, upright pillar, or immense high-rise, they're all statements of virility, power, and prestige. And isn't it just like us to believe that the city with the biggest skyscraper wins? If this bigger is better sort of mentality has been going on in art, architecture, and religion for several millennia, you know for sure it's been happening on an individual level too. From the beginning of recorded time, different cultures have designated cock size as the outer sign of a man's inner values. The size of a man's dong was synonymous with his stature, power, masculinity, and sexual potency. Curiously, the ancient Greeks prized a puny pecker as the standard of male beauty. A big dick was the object of ridicule. Their mythology saddled the satyrs, woodland creatures with pointy ears, hairy legs, and short goat-like horns, with exaggerated cocks to symbolize their excess and lechery. Aristotle reasoned that a small penis was more fertile than a large one because the semen didn't have to travel as far and it didn't cool as much while making its ejaculatory journey. The Hindus also cherished a tiny endowment. Men with the smallest phallus, 2 or 3 inches, were the beautiful ideal. They were characterized as lithe and strong. Prodigious packages of 9 inches or more were compared to those of the beasts, and men who possessed them were considered worthless and lazy. Imagine trying to sell these concepts today. Except for the Greeks and the Hindus, everyone else idolized generous phallic dimensions. For example, so obsessed were the Arabs with the notion of big dick superiority that the Turks of the Ottoman Empire took advantage of this mindset when they successfully conquered the Arabs. It was the practice of the Turks to publicly compare the cock size of vanquished Arab leaders with the superior size of cocks of their own Turkish commanders. This, in the end, effectively shattered Arab resistance. Hey, maybe we should try that today. Japanese pillow books, an early form of Asian porn, always depicted the men with exaggerated cocks. And this was always to the delight of the admiring women in the pictures. In Renaissance Europe, it was fashionable for men to don a codpiece, a primitive sort of jockstrap thing sewn inside of a guy's drawers. This design was obviously intended to emphasize his package. Men of modest endowment, of course, found it necessary to pad their codpiece or be the object of scorn. Here's a startling statistic. Dr. Barry McCarthy, author of Male Sexual Awareness, found that 2 out of 3 men believe their dick is smaller than average. Isn't that astounding? I mean, how is that possible? I suppose, given this culturally induced big dick bias, it's no wonder men of almost every historical age and society have been obsessed with disguising their shortcomings or trying to develop a method to compensate for what they consider to be their woeful inadequacy. Around 2,000 years ago, men in several tribes in Africa popularized the practice of hanging a weight from their cock. Actually, many historians believe that the practice harkens back to ancient Egypt. The pharaohs were known to stretch their cock and balls using weights to increase sexual pleasure. Lots of guys do the very same thing today, most for pleasure enhancement, but there's always those who think that this is an effective way to enhance endowment. Now, hanging a weight from the end of your cock and or balls will sure enough stretch the tissues that make your shaft and or sack. It's gravity at work. But this can be dangerous because this practice can diminish the circulation of oxygen-rich blood, which is essential for the upkeep of smooth muscle tissue. And smooth muscle tissue makes up about 90% of your cock. And doggone it if this technique doesn't simply rob Peter to pay Paul, so to speak. What lengthening might happen comes at the expense of your dick's thickness. After all, it just stands to reason you only have just so much cock to work with. If you pull on it, it might get longer, but it's also going to get thinner. A modern variation on the age-old stretching techniques is the traction method. A guy puts his cock in a kind of noose and either straps his wiener to his leg or hooks it up to a traction contraption that looks way too much like a medieval torture device for my tastes. The claim here is that constant stretching makes the cells in this area divide and multiply, thus increasing the tissue mass. There's no arguing with the concept. People have been using this method for centuries as a means of adorning and customizing their bodies, particularly lips and ears. Consider the women of the Sumer tribe in Ethiopia. They wear lip plates. Their lower lip is pierced when they are young girls and stretched with ever larger plates over time. But what they gain in beauty, they lose in sensitivity. The same thing is true of a guy's cock. What he may gain in size, he will surely lose in sensitivity, and that's not a good thing. The jelk or milking technique is an ancient method of penis enlargement practiced in the Middle East. Traditionally, it was taught father to son when the kid reached adolescence. Wealthy families, however, sent their boys to gyms or health clubs where a highly trained attendant would perform the jelk technique on the boy each day. As a result, these daily treatments, the kid's dick would develop into dimensions not otherwise attained without this method. Modern-day advocates of this technique claim that milking also works on a fully developed adult penis. But I have my reservations. The jelk involves massaging a semi-erect cock in a rhythmic and regular manner, enhancing blood flow within the shaft. The claim is that after several months of this, one could see a size increase both in girth and length. Longtime practitioners claim gains of several inches in length are possible, but one can only imagine how many hours that might take over the course of a year or longer. Effective jelking demands an hour or so more each day for exercises. I mean, who has that kind of free time on his hands? No wonder most men fail to complete their jelking programs. Penis enlargement pills and patches proliferate on the internet, but there is virtually no documented evidence that they actually work. All such products use herbal ingredients like ginkgo biloba and yohimbe, which act as stimulants and vasodilators. The best one can say is that some pills might enhance blood flow, which may, in some cases, cause an ever so slightly bigger woody. Once a program like this is started, it needs to be continued for as long as you want that effect to continue. Imagine how much that would cost. This stuff is really expensive. Finally, the early 20th century brings us the advent of modern technology to the treatment of impotence, or as we currently know it, erectile dysfunction. Please note that all devices and surgical interventions of the last 100 years were initially designed to treat ED. Only after did folks begin to use these inventions as male enhancement schemes. Take the Austrian inventor Otto Ledever, for example. He reasoned that if a stiffy was all about blood flow, then maybe he could come up with a device that would draw blood into a cock, creating an erection where there wasn't one before. In 1917, our hero patented an airtight cylinder topped by a bulb that created a vacuum within the chamber. Insert a limp dick, pump, 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 and ta-da! An impressive erection resulted. There was a rub, however. When the vacuum was eliminated and the cylinder removed, the faux erection drained away nearly as quickly as it arrived. It was only a matter of time till he discovered that you gotta constrict the flow of blood back into the body once the peanut is engorged. And that, my friends, was the birth of the cock ring. Isn't science amazing? Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Finally, we hear from Steve, who's 32 and writes from the USA. Hey there, just wondered if there was a way to produce more pre-cum as my girlfriend really likes it. You gotta love a chick that grooves on some sweet pre-cum, don't you know? Not everyone loves this nectar of the gods as much as some of us do. The curious thing about this stuff is that some guys have a load of it every time. Others have little to none. Pre-cum, or pre-ejaculate as it's technically known, is the product of the bubo-urethral gland, or Cowper's gland. This is part of our reproductive system, obviously. It's about the size of a pea, and it sits just under the prostate gland, behind a portion of the urethra that is at the base of the cock. And you know what? Women have a similar or analogous gland called the Bartholin gland. Theirs is located in the inner lips of their pussy, and it provides lubrication during sex. These glands, both the female and the male variety, get smaller and thus less productive as we age. That's why the delicious treats, pre-cum and pussy juice, are so hard to come by, no pun intended, in us older folks. Basically, these clear liquids are associated with the arousal stage of our sexual response cycle. In us guys, pre-cum lubricates and helps clean out any urine or other foreign matter from our urethra that might impede, or worse, kill our very delicate sperm. How does one increase pre-cum production, if that's even possible? Good question. One sure factor is to keep yourself well hydrated, which just makes common sense, right? The more hydrated you are, the more liquids you can produce. Another factor may be to massage your Cowper's gland. The more you stimulate the gland, the more productive it's likely to be. But wait, how does one stimulate his Cowper's gland, you might ask? Well then, I have the answer to that question too. Since our Cowper's gland is just below our prostate, you stimulate your Cowper's gland with a nice prostate massager. And guess what? I have the perfect one for you. And to introduce you to it, I'm going to read the full review I wrote for the Aneros prostate massagers. So here it goes. If you're a guy, or you know someone who is, and you have a butthole, or the guy you know has one, I've got some swell news for you. I want to introduce you to three hands-free prostate and perineum massagers that have come my way. I haven't been this excited, literally and figuratively, about a line of adult products in a very long time. Finally, someone's got it right. The first thing I want to say about these Aneros products is they are designed and developed by folks who are as serious about prostate health as they are about prostate pleasure. Listen, I'm all in favor of toys that have no other purpose than to dispense a good dose of the jollies. But if a fella can pleasure himself and do himself some good health-wise, all at the same time, well, that just beats the pants off a diddlin' just for fun. Before we get down to actually landing these babies where the sun don't shine, I have some general comments to make. Each Aneros product has a unique shape, and there's a shape for every anal pleasure experience level, from rank amateur to professional butt pirate. They're made of firm, durable, non-toxic plastic. They clean up in a jiffy. Warm water and mild detergent will do just fine. You can also sterilize them by dropping them into boiling water for a couple of minutes. Hell, you can even pop them in the dishwasher, too. What could be simpler? They have an ergonomic elegance about them. They actually remind me of a finely crafted medical device. No surprise there, I suppose, since each Aneros massager is the product of years of research and development. And just so you don't think I'm pulling your leg, these are the only medically patented prostate massagers on the market. Their zen-like simplicity is a marvel in and of itself. There are no batteries to wear down, no wires to fumble with. These beauties work their magic in harmony with your body's own movements. Just lifting or repositioning your leg, tensing your PC muscle, or rolling on your side will stimulate and invigorate your prostate and perineum in a slightly different way. It's truly amazing. I discovered that if I did a few crunches while my Aneros massager was lodged within, what was once a workout chore became a tingly delight. Since I had three Aneros products to review, I decided I'd share the wealth, so to speak. I wanted to find three uninhibited men who were up for an afternoon of prostate pleasuring. I apparently know the right kind of guys because the very first three fellas I invited jumped at the opportunity. And best of all, we covered the spectrum of anal play experience. I told my visitors that we had one simple task, to agree or disagree with the Aneros claim that their stimulators increased one's sexual performance and stamina, facilitate a stronger erection, and enhance orgasmic pleasure. Before we set off to work, however, I had to remind my friends that we gathered together and dropped our drawers purely in the name of science. So I insisted they wipe those stupid grins off their face right away. Kevin, single, straight, and 25, was the youngest and least experienced among us. He never had more than a finger in his ass. He chose the Aneros MGX as his challenge. Despite the modest girth, he was still a bit intimidated. Glenn, partnered, gay, and 33, was the most experienced among us. He's pretty smug about his talented ass and proudly identifies himself as a power bottom extraordinaire. Initially, he scoffed at all three stimulators. Shit, I could take all three of them at once, he proclaimed. I handed him the Aneros Progasm, the largest stimulator of the bunch, and told him to park his famous ass and shut his pie hole for the time being. Carlos, married, mostly straight, and 46, has experimented with a couple of anal toys and would like to do more. He wants to get his wife involved too. However, he's been having some prostate problems lately, so he was unsure how helpful he'd be. He got the Aneros Helix. We shared our initial reactions to each product, how they look and felt in our hand. We talked about what our expectations were, if any. We took note of each different shape and configuration of the perineum tab and the K-tab on each. I gotta tell you, we were all stumped by the K-tab reference. I actually had to go to the Aneros website for an explanation. Kundalini, or K-tab, is supposed to add sensations up and down your spine similar to the sensations you're feeling on your prostate. Okay, the Kundalini reference is way too esoteric for me. I realize that this is some kind of tantric reference, but please! Basically, the K-tab hits below your tailbone or coccyx. And that's all you really need to know. Now that my guests and I are all comfortable and naked, the fun begins in earnest. Kevin realizes that he's going to need lube to insert his MGX. Actually, everyone needs lube for ass play of any kind, but you all know that already, huh? Unfortunately, Kevin was using a dainty little amount of lube right on his pucker. I guess he thought that was going to do the trick. He was oh so wrong. Listen up, y'all. You gotta lube the whole chute, don't you know? Glenn leaned over with one of the Marksman water-based lube shooters that came with the Aneros stimulators. He showed Kevin how to pop the top, insert the shooter stem, and deep lube his hole. Ah, that's much better, Kevin proclaimed. On his side, with his lower leg straight and his upper leg cocked to his stomach, he tried to insert the MGX, but failed. I think he was pretty nervous, and there was a fair amount of performance anxiety going on. It didn't help that we, his audience, were looking on with a great deal of anticipation. Carlos reached over and held Kevin's upper leg so he wouldn't have to tense to hold the position. He then said, "Relax," and breathe deep. Kevin's next try was successful. As soon as the MGX slipped into place, with its head knocking on his prostate, Kevin's eyes rolled back in his head, and he let out a whimper. Damn! Holy shit! Kevin was a little nervous about lowering his leg because that movement slightly altered the position of the MGX, and each time he moved, he got a jolt of pleasure. Finally, he was able to roll onto his back and lower his leg. I told him to do some Kegel exercises. Now, tighten your PC muscle like you would if you were trying to stop the flow of pee, and hold that contraction for a slow count of 3. Then, relax. Next, contract and relax your PC muscle as rapidly as you can, like a flutter. Kevin was oozing pre-cum like there was no tomorrow. He had a rock-hard hard-on. Okay, so he's 25. All his boners are rock hard. He did say, however, that he was afraid to touch his cock because he thought he would shoot his load for sure if he did. And he didn't want to come right away. He wanted to ride these new sensations he was having. Carlos was next. He popped the top and administered his Marksman lube shooter like a pro. His previous experience with ass toys ensured an effortless insertion. Maybe because his enlarged prostate, the helix hit home with a bang, as it were, and it took his breath away. Carlos admitted that the experience was right on the edge of being uncomfortable at first. I reminded him that the good people at Aneros suggest that everyone take his time to acquaint his butt with one of their stimulators. You gotta be patient, darling, I insisted. Your body needs a chance to get familiar with its new friend. Carlos worked through the initial discomfort with deep breathing, Kegels, and yanking on his balls to move the sexual energy around. He too had a powerful hard-on and more than the usual amount of pre-cum. This surprised him. Because of his enlarged prostate, Carlos found that he needed to take a break and remove the helix every once in a while. This was fine with him because reinserting it was so much fun. While Carlos and Kevin were riding their stimulators, Glenn was preparing himself for disappointment. He was sure his progasm was going to be a bust. He put on a cock ring because he assumed he would need one. No little insertable was going to challenge his pro hole or give him wood either, or so he thought. Glenn's poop chute devoured the progasm like it was a snack. It slipped into place with an audible pop. We all giggled like schoolgirls. Sure enough, the girth of the progasm was like playing house for him. What Glenn didn't count on was the P-tab and the K-tab. These little numbers made all the difference in the world. None of his other ass toys had anything like this. When Glenn could finally admit that bigger isn't always better, he realized the potential of the progasm. As every power bottom will tell you, the secret to enjoying a big toy and or a ferocious fuck is pelvic muscle control. If you keep your muscles, including your PC muscle, in tip-top shape, a wealth of pleasure awaits you. If, however, you go loose in the caboose, so to speak, you pay the price in pleasure and sphincter control. While the progasm didn't come close to filling him up, it did hit the spot. The P-tab and the K-tab riveted the progasm head to his prostate while adding the additional stimulation of his taint, perineum, and spine. This was all new territory for Glenn. He found that he had to work to tighten his PC muscle around the more modestly sized progasm shank. This exercised his muscles more and delivered more pleasure. Glenn had to remove his cock ring because his wood was getting too intense. Okay, I'm a believer. This thing is pretty fucking amazing. I'm sold big time. Our afternoon session ended in an explosive manner. After only 20 minutes with his MGX, Kevin couldn't stand it any longer and popped a wad that hurled well over his shoulder. We all cheered him as he writhed in delicious agony. Isn't it funny how pleasure and pain register as the same thing on one's face? He pulled the plug from his ass and fought to catch his breath. As his dick softened, it continued to dribble spooge into a pool near his navel. This thing rocks! Carlos decided to finish himself off without the helix in place. He said he liked the butt play a lot. It just became too intense as he neared orgasm. He finally gave up his spunk in three waves of bliss. He was surprised at the amount of cum he produced. He figured it was the prostate massage that milked more cum out of him. However, he reported that his prostate was very tender after the orgasm. He thought he needed to take more time with the Helix or maybe try the MGX next time. Meanwhile, Glenn was edging, playing with his sexual tension as he jerked off. He would come right up to the point of ejaculating, and then he'd suddenly let go of his dick. Its hardness would slap against his belly. When the urge to come subsided, he'd start to handle himself again. He said he would usually delay his ejaculation for an hour doing this. Not today, though. The progasm altered his edging performance and brought him closer to coming more frequently until he let it fly. He said edging usually makes for more intense orgasms. But this time, with the progasm plugged in his happy hole, he felt several mini-orgasmic quakes before the big one hit. Like I said, I'm sold. As my guests lay spent on the floor, I asked them to rate their particular Aneros product on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. Kevin gave his MGX a 10.0. He was going to go online and buy his own just as soon as he got home. Glenn was happy to be proven wrong. He gave the Progasm an 8.5. He thought he'd probably buy his own as well. He asked if he could borrow the MGX for his partner, who never bottoms, to try. Carlos rated the Helix 9.0, but his experience at 8.0. Like he said, I need more time to work with one of these things on my sensitive prostate. He wanted to introduce his wife to the concept too and asked if he could borrow the Helix for some homework. As for me, I tried all three stimulators and found the Helix fit me best. I sympathize with Carlos and the trouble he has with his enlarged prostate. I know the feeling. Lots of men our age and older are similarly troubled. However, I'm discovering that a regular routine of Aneros prostate massage therapy is making a big difference. It's assisting me to achieve better pelvic muscle tone and increasing oxygen-rich blood flow. This is reducing the size of my prostate and making my erections firmer. Firmer erections mean more sensitivity, and greater sensitivity means more pleasure. Simply put, it's a win-win situation all around. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I am a fierce advocate for prostate self-awareness. At the risk of generalizing from my experience, I'd say there's a very good chance that regular use of an Aneros stimulator will facilitate prostate health and vitality in most men. And a healthy prostate and added muscle control are the kingpins of powerful orgasms, rejuvenated sexual ability, and stamina, as well as a stiffer cock. So like I said, if a fella can pleasure himself and do himself some good health-wise all at the same time, well, that's just about beats the pants off of just diddling for fun. Enjoy. Yikes, look at the time. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. And again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better just call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my monthly ever-so-popular sex toy awareness feature. You'll find a link to these amazing resources in the category section in the sidebar of my site. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. And look for my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously. Just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.